From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch inviting you to stay with us for a message from the Word of God, as well as some sacred music that will inspire you and honor the Lord Jesus. As Dr. Cairns studies the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is dealing with how the Jewish religious leaders hated Christ because he showed their imposition of self-developed traditions as hypocrisy. In applying this teaching to Christian living in our day, Dr. Cairns emphasizes our need to be concerned with what God thinks and not with what the world thinks. First, however, he returns to the theme of the Protestant Reformation in keeping with October as Reformation Month. Today's hot topic, the Rosary, vain repetition.
My introduction to the use of the Rosary came when I was just a teenager. Our next door neighbors were devout Roman Catholics. We were good friends, and our two families were constantly a help to each other. So it was not unusual for me to be in their home, as I was at the time I have in mind when the children were saying their prayers. I thought I knew all about children saying their prayers. You went to your room, knelt by your bed, closed your eyes, and recited the prayers that your parents had taught you, including the Lord's Prayer, and a string of petitions like God bless Mommy and God bless Daddy and so on. But those kids saying the Rosary was something very different. The Rosary is a string of beads that have been specially blessed so that when a Roman Catholic uses them to count a set of prescribed prayers, he receives a special indulgence. Those prayers are composed of 15 Paternosters, or Our Fathers, the Lord's Prayer addressed to God the Father, 15 Glorias, and 150 Hail Marys. As I watched our neighbor family count off the beads and recite the prayers, it was quite a revelation. It was obvious that the recitation was entirely by rote, and I began to grasp something of the mind-numbing ritual of Romish worship. The Lord Jesus Christ specifically warned his disciples against vain repetition in prayer. Now, just remember what the Rosary, one of the basic elements in the personal devotion of Roman Catholics, calls for. You do not simply pray the Lord's Prayer. No, you repeat it again and again, and you recite a total of 150 Hail Marys in the full Rosary. 10 times more prayers being addressed to Mary than to God the Father. In the Hail Mary prayer, the worshipper prays as follows, and I quote, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I will do no more than make passing mention of the fact that the Bible nowhere authorizes prayer to Mary or any of the saints. God's command is, call upon me. Nor does the scripture warrant giving Mary the title Mother of God. These things are pernicious popish inventions. What I want to stress, however, is that the emphasis on the endless repetition of the same words from a prescribed form of prayer, day after day and year after year, is as blatant a form of vain repetition as you can imagine. It's calculated to kill any freshness or spontaneity in personal devotion. So here we have the fundamental form of Roman devotion, and what is it? It's a vain repetition of words addressed for the most part to one who cannot hear or answer. Thank God for the Reformation that delivered us from such mindless ritual and led us to the pure Word of God, where we have the Lord's own clear instructions on approaching God. Having said this, I'll end with a question. How many Protestants who would never think of using the rosary still rarely rise above the level of vain repetitions? What about the seemingly endless repetitions of many charismatics, many of whom use the name of Jesus as an incantation, almost as a mantra? God says he does not hear us for our much speaking. He hears us for Christ's sake. He answers us according to his will on Christ's merits. Whether you use the rosary or some other form of mindless prayer ritual, remember, vain repetition may make you feel better for the moment by stultifying your conscience, but it is entirely empty, devoid of any spiritual good.
I'm a message from the Lord, hallelujah, a message unto you I give. 'Tis recorded in his word, hallelujah, it is only that you look and live. Look and live, my brother, look and live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in his word, hallelujah, it is only that you look and live. Life is offered unto you, hallelujah, eternal life your soul shall have. If you'll only look to him, hallelujah, look to Jesus who alone can save. Look and live, look, my brother, look and live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in his word, hallelujah, it is only that you look and live.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, the emails, the phone calls that we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart with his word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the Let the Bible Speak audio magazine. This is in CD or cassette form and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing some of the articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a copy of Let the Bible Speak audio magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Don't be worried about what the world says. What you've got to be concerned about is what the Lord says. If you're living for Him, He'll tell you, I don't condemn you. There's a comfort here. There's also a great and important truth for the disciples. He's saying to them clearly, as he condemns the Pharisees, live by the written word of God, not by the innovations of men. He's saying, in effect, I am your master. Follow me. I'll show you what the word of God requires of you. But through it all, remember the greatest truth. I am for you, and I'm not against you. Now, those disciples weren't perfect. Are you perfect? Am I? No. I have seen an end of all perfection. We're not perfect. But the Lord is for us. The Lord is for us. And what I would love to see in this church this morning, as the result of our looking at this, is a rising up of a body of people. Young people, middle-aged people, old people, men, women, boys and girls, the rising up of a body of people like these disciples to commit themselves wholly and totally unto Christ, to be His disciples, His followers, to be those who are going to take their stand for Him no matter what the cost may be. And they'll take the criticisms of the world. They'll take the antagonisms of the world. They'll get the vision that Christ is worth serving. And they'll know He is for us. He is for us, and He's not against us. Are you saved today? Are you saved? Then wholeheartedly be a disciple. The Church of Christ is in urgent, urgent need of young men and young women wholly committed to the service of Jesus Christ. Careless of what the world may think or say, sold out to serve the Savior. They have a backbone like a crowbar. They'll neither bend nor break. Why? Because they have their eyes on Jesus and they know He is for us and not against us. He knows the hearts of His people and He doesn't condemn them. But He also knows the hearts of hypocrites. Now let me rephrase that. He knows the hearts of those who lyingly profess to be God's people. And He does condemn them. As soon as the disciples were used to attack Christ by these Pharisees, the Lord Jesus rounded on the Pharisees. And He started exposing them for what they were. Hypocrites. What? The disciples came and said, Lord, do you not know that the Pharisees were offended at this saying? I'd love to have been there just to see this. I love to see a pompous... Let me quote again. Theological hitman suddenly punctured with one well-aimed arrow of divine truth. I can see these characters. They come along at first. They have a supercilious sneer upon their face as they attack the Lord Jesus. I can see their jaw drop open so far and so fast that it nearly dislocated their kneecaps. They're aghast, for Christ had touched a raw nerve. You say you are the people of God. You profess to be His own people. And in support of that, you point to the fact that you put a little egg cup of water over your hands before you eat, and you have a heart as black as hell. Now we're talking. That's what Jesus is saying. You come to tell me you're God's people because you do this and you do that and you do that and you do the other thing. I want to strip away all the veneer of the little things you say you do, and I want to get under your skin and I want to look at your heart. When I look at your heart, what do I see? I see a heart that's far from God. Get what he's saying? You engage in the external rites of God's worship. He could have gone further. You read his word every day. You learn its words off by heart. You have many prayers that you recite. These are the things you do. In themselves, to read the Bible, to say prayers, are not they good things? In themselves, yes, unobjectionable, indeed virtuous. If, and this is the all-important thing, if they are the expression of a heart that's given to God. But when they are in place of a heart given to the Savior, they will damn you deeper than Tyre and Sidon or Sodom and Gomorrah. This is his message to the Pharisees. But you know, the Pharisees were not alone in their legalism and hypocrisy. Now, I've been using that word legalism a lot. I'm going to back up a little here, because I can't let this go. It really doesn't belong in this message, but that never stops me saying it anyway. What does belong is that you understand what I'm talking about. Legalism is a word that's bandied about by a lot of ignorant people. Usually it's bandied about by a lot of compromisers who want to drag their lives down to have new standards, and they want to cover it up with theological jargon. Let me give you an example. Fundamentalists are called legalists by many highfalutin Calvinists. Now, there may be some legalistic fundamentalists. I'm not here to defend them. I've known legalistic Calvinists as well. I'm not here to defend them either. I've known legalistic Arminians. I'm not going to defend them. But the usual drift of this is, you have standards. You don't believe in drinking and smoking. You don't believe in running to the movies. You don't believe in going to the theater. You're a bunch of legalists. You're the first people who ever did this sort of thing. I don't want to get into any theological or history or whatever, but far from it. I was just reading how far we have drifted. I was just reading part of a sermon by C.H. Spurgeon, in which he was blasting the downgrade of what? Of a minister, an evangelical minister, who thought it would be a good way to get a crowd into a big hall in London on the Sabbath day by having a Christian music concert, and then he would speak at the end. Spurgeon denounced it as a desecration of the Sabbath and as bringing the theater into the church, and it would not be the way of carrying forward the gospel. And even the minister who tried it came to realize the same thing. How far we have come. So, without passing judgment on Spurgeon's opinion, let me just say that having standards didn't originate with fundamentalists or with free Presbyterians. But the idea is, if you have standards, you're a legalist. Because you're living according to a standard. You're a legalist. Let me tell you, my friend, that is such a perversion of the Bible, such a perversion of the New Testament. Legalism in the New Testament is never ascribed to anyone adopting the highest possible standards of personal holiness, personal separation from the world, and personal morality. And guarding that morality as strictly as he can in order to please God and live with a pure testimony for the honor of Christ. That's never called legalism in the New Testament. Legalism is always a way of justification by works. It's always a way of adding my works to Christ so that God will accept me because of what I'm doing. It is always a way, listen, of looking after the outside while hardening the heart against a living faith and a vital godliness. And I want to tell you, wherever you have Christian standards of living that go along with vital faith and a true godliness, you do not have legalism. Nor can you. The Lord Jesus is despising and denouncing the legalism that leads to the hypocrisy of hardening the heart against God. Lord, look at what I'm doing, but underneath I'm living a foul and filthy life afar from God. That's legalism, and that's hypocrisy. And I want you to take this to you today, because this is typical of the religion of the flesh. It's not of God. This is not his planting. I want you to know this. Jesus states it very clearly in verse 13. Anything, no matter how religious, anything that does not conduct you to a vital godliness and a true faith in close fellowship with God is not planted in your heart by the hand of God. It's not God's planting. And it leads to awful consequences. For it's more than a ditch that you'll fall into. That's the condemnation of Christ against legalistic hypocrisy.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.